Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Inside the right circle, Nashville zone, is Ryan Ellis. He gives to Yossi, who carries to center. Off the skate of Sissons. Coming down the right wing. Yossi scores! Roman Yossi coming down the middle. Right half wall, Johansson. Or Duchesne in the corner. Forsberg shoots, and they say no. And now Yossi with a try, he scores. One way or the other, it was going in. And now ahead, Predators a 2-on-1. Here's a try by Turris to score. Kyle Turris elected to shoot rather than pass. Erik Karlsson comes up, left side at center, gave the puck away. Forsberg flipped it back. Forsberg shot, he scores. Philip Forsberg. And there goes Brett Peterson to the parking garage. Puck is fired by Fabro, and he gets it. Dante Fabro into the empty net. The fans stand and roar as one. Time runs down, and the Predators get this 5-2 victory here tonight.
And we welcome you into a Wednesday edition of Morning Drive, off and running live here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise. Good to have you in for the next 4 hours, coming off of another impressive hockey victory last night. Predators down the Sharks 5-2.
Stanley Cup, baby.
What a good night of sports
Wednesday?
Last night.
What's good? We're good. Stanley Cup, baby.
Yeah, we can overreact.
Stanley Cup. I mean, that Johansson, he's so hot. He's so hot.
Dutchie picked up an apple.
That Johansson.
He's got six of them.
That Johansson is so hot right now.
Turris. It was a Turris sighting yesterday.
Yeah, boy.
He had a breakaway.
Had a good three games to start
yes.
the season.
He paid what he owed.
He paid what he owed.
God, I still don't know what that means.
I don't know. It's
you will not
here.
Hear that today at 2 o'clock.
Oh, man. Hey. I'm going to give love to a last-minute Nashville SC win as well. Yesterday was good sports in the Nashville area. You got a baseball game, going to game five. You got the Preds winning easily. You got SC picking up a big 3 points with some magic there at First Tennessee Park. It was a good sports night on a Tuesday, man.
Multiple screens going?
Oh, I had multiple screens going. I didn't leave the office. The wife was yelling at me about something, I don't know, from the living room.
Yeah.
I say, okay, honey, all right.
I'll be right out.
Sounds good. I'm watching the power play.
I'm shaving. Thought I'd save some time.
No, man, it was a good. I just found myself thoroughly entertained with athletic competition last night, boys.
Thoroughly entertained. Yeah, I was.
It was real thoroughly spectacular.
Thoroughly entertained by the Predators. Predators.
The what?
The Predators.
Predators. Predators.
No, but they were. I mean, the one guy that just stands out consistently. It was great to see Turris because he's like you said, he's had a really good stretch. Of games to start the season, and he's looking as if he's kind of getting back to the tourist that he was, which would pay dividends for the Nashville Predators if indeed that happens, because then your line goes real deep if he can kind of kick it into gear. But Pecorine, man, besides giving up that one goal. I think it was one goal because I turned it off like it was maybe 3 or 4 minutes into the third period. I was like, they scored the fourth one. I'm done. I'm going to bed. I mean, he's just a monster, man.
33 of 35.
Yeah, Soros, you don't get back in the net. No, just go relax for a long time.
So
no, I'm just playing.
So it is Overreaction Wednesday.
Yes, I'm just playing, people. No, but Pekka played. I mean, yeah, he played lights out yesterday once again.
You know, I'm gonna use this pay what you owe thing and try to use it how it actually should be used, which is there is somebody now that needs to pay what they owe, and it's the Nashville Predators, and it means they need to start coughing for Roman Josi. They need to cough it up because Roman Josi on a tear to start the season. 2 goals last night. He is playing like one of the best defensemen in the NHL. Two-way player, obviously. And I heard Floyd say this a couple weeks ago when they were talking about the contract. And if you believe that Roman Josi, as your captain, is the man to take you to the Stanley Cup championship, and you are $500,000 away or $1 million away in an agreement, give him the money. That's it. Like, it's not more complicated than that. Okay, maybe 9.5 feels like too much to you, David Poile. Maybe 8.5 is what you want. If you believe Roman Josi is going to help you get to a Stanley Cup championship, what is the difference? Pay him his money.
And if you think he's a Norris Trophy legit contender, that's the going rate.
Pay that man his money. Listen, like, it's... Again, if you don't think that and you're questioning the upside and you're not, and then you're so concerned about, you know, the $1 million difference, then hold to your guns and stay firm on this. And fine, let's see how the contract plays out. And maybe you let him walk. I don't know. Maybe you trade him. I don't know what the other answer is. But if you really believe in him as your captain and you really, by all accounts, they do, like, dude is getting the job done. He's been one of the best players on this team for as long as he's been on this team. If you're at 8.75 and he wants 9.5 and you're $750,000 away, just give it to him.
Well, I think your tweet last night was spot on when you said, you know, put Yossi's agent and you quoted, yeah, 9's not enough.
Yeah.
It's true.
He scored his second one and I just tweeted out, Yossi just sent a text to his agent, hey, 9's not enough. 9 ain't enough, boys.
I mean, the more and more, if he continues to play at this level, which we know it'll kind of dip down because the season is a war of attrition and you get tired and your play kind of go up and down. But if he just stays consistently at that level, my thing is, why even do this? Why even hold this sort of big elephant in a room over the organization's head, so to speak? Why even do it? Just sign a man to a deal. Get it out of the way. He's proven that he's worth more than probably what you're going to give him anyway. This back and forth, if it's indeed this back and forth, and no, we don't know. No. Man, he's proven that he's worth every bit of it. Give him his money. Get it done, over with, and let the season go
but
as we think
it
will go.
Gut feeling when a deal does get done for Roman Josi, will your initial reaction be, whoa, he really cashed in, or, wow, David Poile worked his magic again? How do you get him for that number?
I think most of David Poile's deals end up being in the middle, where it's like, man, that's a really good number for the player, but also a pretty good number for the team. And that's pretty rare in sports, and I think the Predators have done a very good job of that, where they take care of their guys, but they also get a little bit on the back end to help out, whether that's, you know, they gave Matt Duchene a partial no-trade clause or whatever. They'll work extra things into the deal. Bigger signing bonus for you know, if they need to, bigger than they've ever done in franchise history. So Poile will do things around the AAV or just the years to try to add value to the contract if he sees fit in an effort to get the cost maybe down. You know, like, again, we're talking $500,000, $250,000, $750,000, $1 million difference over 7-8 years per year. So it's not a small amount of money. But if you think Yossi's worth 8 and he's asking for 9.5, okay, yeah, I get it. $1.5 million over 7 years is a lot of money. That's $7, $8, $10 million. So I get that's a thing. But again, like, if this is your captain and this is the guy you think is going to carry you to a Stanley Cup championship, and you believe that in your heart about him, then I don't think that small difference that you're at, just come up $750,000 and split the difference and say, Yos, we'll give you a little bit more than the midway point. Are you willing to come down a little bit? And all of a sudden, he gets a big deal. I think it'll be both. I think there'll be a little bit of, whoa, that's a big contract for Yossi. And also, you know what, not terrible for the Preds. I think they'll be both.
The way that this money is being dispersed throughout the NHL, and he and his agent is watching this. This is a different deal from what they've done, you know, with Duchesne, PK, all those other guys. This guy's been here for a while. He's been here for the long haul, and he's consistently played at a level where he's the best player. And he's looking at everyone else around him getting paid. He's not taking. This is the one guy, I think, that's going to push that limit where you're going to pay me, kind of like Weber did. Like you give me, like, either you give me the money or, you know, it is, you pay me the $10 million per. I think that's what they're playing them close to it. You either give me that or we just don't have a deal. And I think Yossi is going to be that same way. Like, I've earned the right to have this contract. So it's not like I'm trying to, you know, put you across my knee and beat you. I just want what the other guys in my position are getting paid, because I'm just as good as them or even better.
Yeah. Predators defeat the Sharks last night 5-2. They pick up 2 points to get to 4 on the year, 2-1 on the season. One final home game tomorrow against Washington. Roman Yossi, of course, one of the biggest stars of last night with 2 goals. Turris, Favreau, and Forsberg, a goal apiece. Matt Duchesne picks up his 6th assist, tied for the lead in the NHL. And Pekka stopped all of 33 out of 35 shots.
Well, you mentioned Favreau. We had the Favreau-Turris conversation yesterday, and both of them go out and play well last night. So that's obviously...
Thanks to us.
That, of course. Yeah, Predators fans, you can thank us. And by the way, did you guys see the tweet from McCabe, from Chase McCabe?
I did.
I don't look at Chase's tweets.
Did you see that?
Called us clowns.
He said those clowns on Morning Drive, because he interviewed Victor Arvidsson after the game.
Which you'll hear coming up next.
And he said, no, guys, no clowns. I did not call him Arvy. Yeah. I said, cool. Mm-hmm. Good job, Chase. You did your job.
Yeah. You did what you're supposed to do.
You did what you're supposed to do.
Not, I don't know why you threw Arvy. Me in that. I didn't even say anything about him.
You're like an offensive lineman who didn't get called for holding. Way
exactly.
to go.
You did your job, okay? Yeah,
good job, Ben Jones.
See, during the interview, he probably didn't call him Arvy. But then after, he's like, all right, see you later, Arvy.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's the thing. It's okay. In private settings, you got nicknames or friendship names with players. Like, fine, that's cool. Just not on the interview.
He's going to slip back into it.
I know.
We'll hear from the constable with Victor Arvidsson. That's coming up next, as well as an interesting question that we'll have for Preds fans. But let's take a listen to Peter Laviolette last night. He was asked if he thought the chemistry on the second line would come along this quickly.
Peter, how quickly did you expect Philip and Matt and I guess Mikhail as well to develop chemistry, and has it come together quicker than maybe you anticipated?
I see what you see. It looks good. I mean, they seem to find each other in small areas out there. They seem to think the game the same way. I think Granny's a big part of that line as well, just with his work ethic and creativity. So far they've looked good, and I think that when you put something together, you like to think that it's going to work, but you're not always sure, and so far it seems like it's been a good combination.
All right, there you go. You like the granny in there?
Granny. Like you said, everybody has to have a Y or I at the end of the day.
My granny played well last night.
She had her dentures in.
Exactly.
All right, this is not.
She put away her cane. And it's just like,
it is something that
no
is totally
Vander Kane.
It is totally unique to hockey.
Is it also a baseball thing, too?
I don't think so. I don't know. Especially since all the... I mean, there's a lot of language barriers in both of them, obviously. But I don't think so. I think it's...
I remember it was... who's not Girardi. Who's the Yankees manager now?
Aaron
is it Boone?
Boone?
Yeah, he called Brett Gardner Gardy. He's like, yeah, Gardy was really legging it from first to third.
I don't know. I think... I was talking to Willie about this the day we destroyed Chase McCabe on the show. Uh-huh. And I said, Willie, have you ever... You know, during a broadcast, like, how often do you do this? And he goes, well, I will occasionally do it because I've said Johansson 412 times in a broadcast. I feel like I need to switch it up occasionally, and so I might throw a Joey in there, but I do it very rarely, and I never do it in an interview setting. And he goes, it's just totally – this is not a new conversation, but it's just totally unique to hockey. It is a very – there's not a single human that goes by their name except for maybe Kyle Turris, of all the people. There's just not anybody that goes by their name. It's just...
You can call him Terry.
Or just Kyle. It's pretty short. Yeah.
Kyle. No, no. Kylie.
Kylie. And I was like, no, that's a Jenner.
Terry.
Thought Terry had a lot of jam tonight.
KT. Call him KT.
KT's not bad.
Yeah.
As long as he starts playing like he's been playing, call him whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
All right. Coming up next, you'll hear the one-on-one with Victor Robertson. And then also, while Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold have not been the best duo, maybe we actually do have a dynamic 1-2 punch. It's just on a different team here in Nashville. Back after this on Morning Drive. Yes, little funky Cole Medina here on a Wednesday. Happy hump day. I dig it. It's Morning Drive. We're live this morning. The wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. We will get to some interesting conversation in just a second regarding the dynamic duo that could very well be in Nashville that doesn't include the Tennessee Titans. We'll explain in just a moment. But first, let's hear a little one-on-one post-game last night. Our boy, the Constable Chase McCabe, and his buddy, Victor Arvidsson.
Let's just start with this offense. It's not only your line, it's not only the Duchesne line, but it seems like things are just being spread around and you guys are able to execute and score these goals.
Yeah, sure. We're creating. I think we're doing a great job offensively, and today we're good defensively too, so that's good.
Power play continues to generate chances. You guys score on it once again tonight. Is it just now more of a comfort than anything with kind of the new way of doing things?
Oh, we have some more options for... We know each other, and Dutchie has been complimenting us really good. So he's a great player, and we're just trying to have fun out there and make plays.
And Matt Duchesne, 6 assists in 3 games with this team, obviously adds a different dynamic to an already pretty good offense.
For sure, yeah. He's been putting up points his whole career, so didn't expect anything else. And he's just doing what he would always done, so... he's been a great addition, like I said, and he's making it easy for his linemates.
You brought up the defense earlier. What are you seeing out of Dante Fabro? As a kid that doesn't have a lot of games under his belt, you watch him out there, it feels like he's been here for a while.
Yeah, he plays with confidence, and he's a good skater. He believes in his game, so I think he's done a great job so far and got in last year in the playoffs and did a great job then too. So he's just going to get better from here, I feel like.
All right, there you go. Chase McCabe, Victor Arvidsson post-game last night in the room.
So many chances to screw up, and he didn't.
He paused and he said Matt Duchesne. Because I think in his mind, after Arvy said Dutchie, he was like, no, I can't say Dutchie. Can't say that.
Block it out.
Yeah, block it out.
You know
please.
He's going to do it one time just to troll us. He's going to say, like, to somebody in the interview process, like, oh, like another apple for Dutchie last night. What do you think of his play? Like, and he's going to do it on purpose just to troll us.
And what if
I will think that? I will then think that's next level.
What if someone says, what is an apple?
Well, the hockey players know.
Yeah. So what is an apple? Okay. Oh, okay. Just to mess with it. Just to troll him. Yeah, like,
six
what is an apple?
6 assists for Matt Duchesne. So off to a pretty good start.
And speaking of Matt Duchesne, let's get into this because so far through one game where Lewan and Saffold have been together, it has not looked like a dynamic duo 1-2 punch on the left side of the line. Still plenty of time for that to change, at least on the Lewan perspective. Saffold could be a lost cause, but Duchesne Forsberg, you know, we discussed it, Forsberg being taken off the Jofa line, put with Matt Duchesne and Mikael Granlund. Is it possible, and I know it's only 3 games, but could Duchesne and Forsberg be one of the most dynamic 1-2 punches in the league?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, this is why they were so... And again, people get overly sensitive about this stuff, but it's okay. A 1A and 1B, it's not a first line and a second line. I mean, right now, Philip Forsberg is leading all forwards at 17:58 of ice time. So 18 minutes of ice time per game. Matt Duchesne almost at 18 minutes of ice time, and Mikael Granlund at 17 minutes of ice time. Those guys are all playing more than Ryan Johansson and Victor Arvidsson. So they are playing more ice time right now. So technically, if you want to get super dramatic about it, they are kind of the first line. Those two guys have clearly gelled quickly, and Granlund's a big part of this as well. You heard Lavi say that. So it's interesting. You've never really felt like the Predators for a long time even had a first line. And then they found Jofa, and for a couple of years now, you felt like they had one of the best lines that would go up against any other best line and hold its own. And now, for the first time ever in 20-plus years, you feel like you've got a bona fide top 2 lines that will go to bat and go to battle with anybody in the league, and you feel good about it. And Forsberg-Duchesne, from a skill standpoint, those are two of the more talented players on the team. I mean, you know, Arvidsson's not more talented than Forsberg and Duchesne. He might be a better player, but he's not more talented. So you put those two together, and you've got a chance for something special. And I think that's what they're trying to do, and it's why it's worked. And listen, they've got two options now to go out there on the first shift whenever they want.
You want to see it consistently happen, you know, because at the beginning of the season, first week or 2 weeks of the season, you know, good players are going to, that's just who they are. And everybody's amped up and everybody's fresh and ready to go. And the league is, each team is still trying to figure the other out. I want to see after 25 games, and if they're still, if these lines are still playing, one, if they're still together, meaning because of injury, but if this line, these lines are still playing the way they have been, then that's when I will say, okay, they got something special here. But it's not – because no one expected San Jose to start off 0-4
now.
I think Carrollson had just come back. They had three guys missing on that team.
Well, Kane made his debut last night because he was suspended for the first three.
Yeah, Carrollson, I think he was gone.
What a nice guy.
I think he was gone for the first game or two. So no one expected them to start off 0-3. But I don't think anyone's really truly panicking. They want to see, well, how are they after 25 games? Then maybe we can start panicking. That's what I want to see from the Predators in these lines. After 25 games, if they're still playing, not playing at this level, but if they're consistently playing well, then I'm like, okay, they got something special with these two lines or possibly even the three lines.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. You know, Matt Duchesne last year had 70 points, 31 goals, 39 assists. Is it possible that Duchesne and or Forsberg could be a point-per-game player this year?
Certainly. It seems unlikely, but that's certainly possible. And even the broadcast last night I thought was interesting. You know, it's always interesting. I don't necessarily always agree with the national perception of local teams, but it is interesting to hear what they think. And, again, you can agree or disagree with it. But last night, even during the broadcast, I want to say it was in the second period where – the Preds had gone up, I think, 3-1, and they were basically, you know, the broadcasting team was raving about the depth down the middle. You know, hey, they've got, when they go Johansson, Duchesne, Bonino, Turris, you know, they're as talented as anybody in the NHL. They've got great goaltending. They've got a good defense core. And they just started rattling off all the things that they like about this Predators team. And I'm going, you're going, like, they're just kind of raving about it. And I'm going, all right, well, we're only three games in, easy. But, again, if there is a renewed chip on your shoulder – you don't feel like you've taken a huge step back with Dante Fabbro versus PK Subban, and you've added an $8 million a year talent to your center lineup in Duchesne, who's now producing at a pretty high clip just out of the gate. It does make you look at this team and go, where is the main weakness, right? Like, is it a net front presence? Is it because if it's right now, it's not second line scoring, right? Like, power play's been productive so far, so. Again, extraordinarily small sample size. You got a long way to go. But even when the national broadcast during the game is sort of just raving about how complete your team is, there's not a lot of weaknesses. That's a good sign if you're a fan.
All right, coming up next, we're going to get to the Tennessee Titans, and we could very well be closing in on the return / debut of one player. We're back after this here on ESPN 102.5 A Game. It is Morning Drive live here on a Wednesday edition of the show. Nick Braden, D-Mace, and Marquise. And tonight, I believe episode number two.
Episode two, Smashville Live returns tonight, live from Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, of course. That's located down there at 1855 Galleria Boulevard, starting at 7 o'clock. This week's guests are Predators players Kyle Turris, who scored a goal last night, and Dan Hamhuis. The first 50 people will have an opportunity to get an autograph or a picture. Smashville Live is brought to you, of course, by our wonderful sponsors, New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Should I ask Kyle Turris if he listens to Jared and the GM?
KT?
Although yesterday, who was it? What did our caller call? Was it Jordan and the coach?
Jordan and the coach.
Jordan and the coach, yeah. Which is also a new one. It used to be Gerald and the coach. Now it's Jordan, the coach. I just am curious if I should ask Kyle Turris that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the lead of the show tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number one.
Listen to Jordan and the coach.
Listen, I don't care, guys, Dan and Kyle, about your big win last night against San Jose, but let's get to really important matters. Do you know what pay what you owe means, Kyle?
Exactly right. All right. So it looks like Jeffrey Simmons is about to make his return and debut, and we're on the precipice of that happening. Apparently, he will practice next week, could play week 7 against the Chargers. What do we make of this, and what should expectations be?
So he is on the NFI list, which is different than what Ryan Succop is. He is on the IR list, which they both can come back and practice. Starting next week, you have to go 6 weeks into the season before you can start practicing. So by all accounts, both guys will start practicing next week. However, Ryan Succop, obviously, because he's on IR, cannot play a game until week 9. So Ryan Succop will be back week 9 at the earliest. I don't expect Jeffrey Simmons to be playing anytime soon. The fact that he's back at practice should give Titans fans a bunch of exciting, all the good feels, right? You get your first-round draft pick at practice and certainly ahead of schedule. The question I have is just at what level is he able to contribute right now? And so I wouldn't be surprised if it still wasn't a couple of weeks before you actually saw him. If he is able to play week 7 in his first week back from practice at the minimum amount of missed time, I'm almost concerned. Like, it sounds great, but it almost, you kind of go, okay, let's make sure the knee's healthy. Let's make sure you're good to go. And even then, you're probably expecting 10, 12, 14 snaps, 15 snaps at the most. You know, situational football to get his feet wet. I don't know, Derek. I don't know if you've ever came back from an ACL, but it just, I know they come back at very different speeds. The human body works very differently, but I just feel like it would be a surprise if you saw him at his first eligible game, which of course would be week 7. I feel like it's going to be longer than that, but that's just, I'm just guessing at this point.
It's been, what, 8-9 months for him since he had surgery?
So right around Adrian Peterson length of time?
Yeah. What I'm afraid of is this is the same thing that Conklin went through. Yeah. And then what happened with Conklin? Well, he ended up injuring something else, and he ended up not being the player that he was the previous season. It really took him 2 years to kind of get back to where I'm sure he feels pretty good now. And that's, you know, when you're 300 pounds in ACL, you just start, it takes a while to get your body back to where it once was. He's not a 185-pound, you know, receiver or running back. He's a big guy. And, you know, all that, you know, It's all that weight on that one knee. Now, I'm sure the Titans will continue to slow play this because it's not like they are the 31st ranked defense in the National Football League. They are, you know, a top 10 defense. And, you know, having him back would help. But if they don't get him back, I mean, it's not like this team is all of a sudden going to fall off the map. This is a good defense. Now, what he brings to the defense, we hope, is an intimidating factor. I mean, I said this yesterday. That's a good team. They don't quite have that intimidating presence on their team. They're a bunch of really, really good, sound technical players that do exactly what they're supposed to do. They're not going to get beat much. They're smart players. But for some reason, they don't have that. When I look on that defensive line, and I love Jarrell Casey, but I look on that defensive line, I don't see that big just guy that just looking, you like, man, gosh. I got to block this guy again? But seriously?
You know what I need from him, though, is, you know, the month of December, if this team is still in the hunt, they're 6-6, they're 7-6, whatever it might be, he's a fresh guy at that point. Let's say he's played a few weeks in November. He starts to really catch his stride and make an impact in the final month of the season. I think that's the best-case scenario.
I totally agree. I think you view anything pre-December and even pre-November as like total house money. That you just want him to sort of grow and develop and get and build up that lather, right? Like, you want like a 3 or 4 game window where he's not starting, he's not playing a majority of the snaps, he's sort of rotating in and out. You want to ease him back into competition. And the other difference there, of course, between him and Conklin is that when you put a right tackle in, you don't really rotate him out too much, right? Those offensive linemen are generally the guys that play 100% of the snaps, so on a defensive lineman, you're doing a lot more rotating, so that maybe helps keep the knee intact or whatever. Again, I am not a medical professional, so I have no idea, but it does feel like this whole thing is ahead of schedule. If he in fact is active, if he in fact is able to play, that's the difference. We all knew he was he had a chance to come back after six games to be practice eligible and activated. But the idea that he will play in week seven again, I'll believe it when I see it. Like that is. It's even being reported just as a possibility. It's not a done deal. So I'm with you. Full strength, 100% starting by week 10, 11.
Well, think about
12,
this.
I think that's awesome.
Here's your schedule. The Titans have a bye week 11. Mm-hmm. They come out week 12 on the 24th of November, which is Thanksgiving weekend against the Jaguars. The stretch run, you have four division games. You have the Jaguars, the Colts, and the Texans twice. The final three games in December, it's Texans, Saints, Texans. So you're talking Watson twice and Drew Brees.
Yeah.
That's when it's nice to have a guy like Jeffrey Simmons.
That's when he needs to be kind of rounding in the form. To me, he needs to have a Haloti Ngata impact, meaning when Haloti Ngata first got into the league, you know, the first couple of years, especially his first year, this guy was just, he was a monster in the middle. And
were you with him in Baltimore when that happened?
Uh-huh. And he kept those guys off of Ray Lewis and the other guys because he was a big, powerful
what a monster he
presence.
Was.
And that's what we need Simmons to be, this presence to keep, you know, to keep the offensive linemen off of those quick, skilled linebackers that we have. If he can do that along with Jarrell Casey, I mean, it's going to free up those linebackers to do a lot of things. And Dean Pease would love not to have to blitz, you know, Logan Ryan all the time or some other defensive guy.
Kenny Vaccaro,
exactly. Yeah. He would love to not have to do that. He would love to have those guys in coverage and mixing things up. Because if you can get Simmons and Jarrell Casey and those other guys to occupy those big guys, those offensive linemen, and then let those linebackers hit those holes, oh, man, that's when it becomes a scary defense.
Is their dream scenario from like a down and distance standpoint, mm-hmm. if it's third and long and it is 100% a passing situation, Casey, Simmons, Wake, Landry, that front four, throw in a fifth guy like Rashawn Evans blitzing through one of the gaps. I mean, that's Dean Pease's dream scenario, right?
Daquan Jones had a sack last week. I mean, it's not like he's not
a
decent player.
Their dream scenario is rushing those four guys and collapsing a pocket. Yeah. That's his dream scenario. That's every defensive coordinator's dream scenario, that I have four guys that can collapse the pocket and I don't have to. That's why the Giants, the year they beat New England, that's why they were so good. They didn't have to blitz anybody. No. They had four guys, flat out four guys, that can get to the pass. So we collapsed the pocket very quickly.
Why did Clemson win the national title last year?
Because they had four guys that could collapse the pocket.
They didn't have to blitz. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And the beauty of this is that you still have so many viable options while you're rotating him in, right? Like, you feel comfortable. Like, Daquan Jones has been a solid player for them this year. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel comfortable, all right, Simmons isn't 100%, we're going to play him for 15 snaps, well, the other 25 or 35 snaps need to be accounted for, and you've got bodies to do that, whether it's Isaiah Mack or you know, and again, there obviously has to be a roster move made here. If he is, in fact, activated for week seven, then you've got to figure out who's not on the roster anymore, whether that's Matt Dickerson or whatever. But you feel pretty comfortable about the rotation, too. It's not just that front four, you know, on third and eight in the fourth quarter, you feel really good about those four guys going to get the quarterback. What does the rotation look like in the meantime to get him up to speed? You feel pretty comfortable about that group. The question is can Jeffrey Simmons play right guard or left guard? Can he block? Because that's really what they need. It's not another defensive stud. They need an offensive lineman right now.
All right, right now it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on North Carolina at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October the 12th. Just be caller number 5 right now at 615-737-1025, 737-1025, caller 5. You get yourself a pair of tickets for Nashville SC. So we know the Titans have issues, but the AFC as a whole has issues as well. It's a midweek portion of the week as we're, you know, the vitriol has gone away for the Titans, at least until Sunday. But let's take a look at the landscape of the conference when we come back. Are the Titans in bad shape like we think, or is there still plenty of wiggle room? We're back after this on Morning Drive. All right, welcome back into Morning Drive, 6:45 live here on a Wednesday edition of the show. It's been doom and gloom for the Tennessee Titans, and justifiably so. The last couple of weeks have not gone according to plan, but let's take a look at this conference right now, because I was just looking at the NFC yesterday. The NFC,
The North, every team has a winning division, winning record in the division. The NFC West is stacked, minus the Cardinals. I mean, there's, I think the balance of power clearly lies in the NFC right now. But you go to the AFC. If we were to remove the Patriots, who are 5-0, the Bills, who are 4-1 and beat the Titans, and the Chiefs, who are 4-1, I mean, you got a bunch of 3-2s, 2-3s.
I'd leave the Bills in there and just take the Chiefs and the Patriots out, because the Chiefs and the Patriots feel like they're better than everybody else. Leave the Bills in there because they're clearly not better than everybody else. They've got a good, nice record here. I'm not calling them paper tigers here or whatever. I don't think that's the case. I think they're a good football team. But
the rest of the conference has issues.
If the Bills are the third best team in the conference, that tells you all you need to know about where this conference is. You know, Cleveland is what?
We don't know what Cleveland
is. Who knows?
Is.
But Baltimore looks like the front runner in that division, but they also have question marks. You know, Houston and Indianapolis, and you know, in this AFC South, you know, can Indianapolis sustain this for the entire year? I think we believe that they can. You know, how long is Deshaun Watson stay upright, right? And then does anyone believe that Oakland is a wild card team? Probably not.
You know what? I don't know,
that,
man.
That win Oakland, against Chicago was pretty impressive.
Well, Oakland, no Trubisky, you know.
Oakland is – here's the thing about Oakland. I think what Oakland did, the best thing they ever did was get rid of Antonio Brown. I think that kind of stabilized that franchise.
Isn't that so weird for a guy who never played a game?
Exactly. But I'm not saying that Gruden's a great coach or anything, but I just think they're okay.
But he looked pretty smart on Sunday because the guy he traded away, Khalil Mack, one of the picks in return is Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
And Josh Jacobs had himself a day.
Oh, he bought out.
I wish the Abrams kid stayed healthy. One of their first round picks this year.
And he's going to be a player.
I think very highly of him. Yeah.
But if you look at the AFC, man, at the start of the season, and this is how, you know, we approach this, it's okay, you're going to see a lot of teams kind of just jump out there at the beginning, and there are going to be a few teams that don't play well. I want to see in November and December, that's when teams start to separate themselves. That's when the good teams, you know, they've been in this cluster, and all of a sudden, come November and December in a war of attrition, they kind of separate themselves from everyone else.
So they go from good to great?
Yeah, sort of kind of like that.
Okay.
And that's when I start to really hammer down, you know, sort of, you know, who's where, you know, who do I think is going to be a playoff team? Because right now, I think the only sure thing right now in the AFC, barring injury, is that New England will be in the playoffs.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, surprise, surprise.
You don't put Kansas City in that same conversation?
I do, but Kansas City, if they have an injury or two on defense, I think they'll make the playoffs, but if they have an injury or two on defense, man, I feel bad for them.
Here's the thing, though. I think the Colts gave the blueprint. If you have a good offensive line,
they couldn't get off the field.
You just run right at Kansas City and punch that defense in the face and minimize the times Patrick Mahomes is on the field.
Do you think the Titans could do that?
No.
I think they can. Absolutely. You think Kansas City's going to stop? Dude, the reason they won the game in Arrowhead in the playoffs was they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. They just kept handing him the ball. Like, the Chiefs' defense isn't any better today than it was when they played in the wild card game
a couple years ago. You trust the Titans' offensive line right now to do this?
No.
To run the football against that defense, yes.
Against Kansas City?
To pass block against almost anybody else? No. No, I don't. But here's the other side of that equation, Derek. You said, you know, let's put New England and Kansas City in and say, all right, that feels for sure, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing. Miami, the Jets, and Cincinnati, although Sam Darnold, I believe, was cleared to return.
Yeah, he was.
Which is good news. Miami, the Jets, and Cincinnati, and if the Titans go beat Denver this weekend, you can kind of take those four almost out of it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of already being trimmed down to a 9-team race for 5 spots or for 4 spots, right? It's already sort of, we've already trimmed the fat. We've given 2 teams 2 spots, and we've already taken 3 teams out of it. That's a third of the conference. We're down to 10 teams for 4 spots. So,
yeah, but if the Titans can't pick up a win this week, they make their job very difficult. I'm telling you, watch out.
Yeah, this week's huge.
Yeah, watch out for Indianapolis for this reason. And I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later. Frank Wright has done a wonderful job. I mean a wonderful job with this team. They thought this team was going to fold when Andrew Luck retired. And now I'm starting to believe that Andrew Luck, the only reason he retired, because he felt confident enough that Brissett could lead this team. He felt confident enough that now they have talent around.
He wasn't leaving the franchise to die.
Absolutely. I think he felt like, okay, I can retire now. You know, I've been beat up. Jacoby Brissett's a good quarterback. I can retire, and if things won't just fall apart. I don't think he would have left that franchise if he felt things were just going to fall apart. Pay attention to Indianapolis. This team is just going to quietly keep winning games. I'm not saying they're going to be the best team in the league, but you're going to look, and somehow, some way, they're going to find themselves in the AFC Championship game.
Marlon Mack looks like a combination of Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy.
Good.
Behind that offensive line.
That offensive line is reminiscent of Dallas's offensive line.
Is what's doing it. And again, you watch Georgia play, for example. The reason Jake Fromm can stand back there forever and pick apart defenses is because the offensive line keeps him upright the entire time. I think Jake Fromm's been hit one time like all year. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's what the Colts the offensive line has done. Now I would say we were one of the few shows that was on top of this. I had the Colts at 13-3 and going to the Super Bowl with Andrew Luck. So if Andrew Luck is worth 4 or 5 wins, 9-7 is still pretty good. 8-8 is still pretty good. I don't know if this team is a 10-win team. I don't know if they're that good. And maybe that's what you're saying, Derek, because you think they're even better than we thought. But we thought pretty highly of this team with Jacoby Brissett. Mm-hmm. We thought they could be an 8 or 9-win team, which puts you right in the mix in this division every year because this division never has an elite team. The Texans, I still think, are the team to beat. But at this stage, if the Titans end up at 9-7 or 8-8, and the Jags end up at 9-7 or 8-8, and the Colts end up at 9-7 or 8-8, I don't think anybody should be surprised by that. The question is, does that put you into a wild card race? Because if the wild card, like Pittsburgh, doesn't look like they're a factor this year right now at one and four,
they lost both of their quarterbacks.
I mean, the Chargers are at 2-3. They were expected to be better than that.
I think the Chargers will get better as they go,
and maybe Buffalo will trip up along the way because they can't sustain sort of what they're doing on offense, turning the football over. I just think it's still wide open. I think if you're a Titans fan, now this weekend is huge. 2-4 is very different than 3-3. That's a very different number, it feels like. So if you can go on the road and beat Denver, not only do you take Denver out of the equation and you maybe put them in the elimination pile, but you've kind of given yourself some new life, which is what they tend to do, right? They disappoint one week and then they give themselves new life the next week. That's what this organization tends to do.
And to your point on Frank Wright, we can get to that now. I'm not sure that he's getting the credit he deserves because if you watch that game Sunday night, they had no Darius Leonard. Mm-hmm. Their secondary was ravaged. I mean, they were playing with a front four and not many other starters. And they held Patrick Mahomes so much in check that they won that game in a defensive grinded out affair. Right now, I mean, you go back to last year. Since that 1-5 start, look at what the Colts have done. The Luck retirement, he's beaten Vrabel multiple times. Is Frank Wright, because I think back in the summer we had a discussion and we said, well, I don't think Titans fans would trade Vrabel for Reich, and I don't think Colts fans would trade Reich for Vrabel. Should we revisit that?
Well, Derek, you were on the Reich side of this, you don't have to apologize here. I'll apologize because I thought, and my opinion of last year doesn't change because of new things this year. This is one of the weirdest things in sports that I don't think people on Twitter understand. My opinion coming into this year was last year Mike Vrabel dealt with far more adversity. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel did deal with far more adversity last year. He lost Delanie Walker in week one. His quarterback was injured. The offensive line was hurt. You know, all the things that we've documented throughout the course of the summer for 9 months about what went wrong last year with the Titans. Frank Reich had Andrew Luck healthy behind the best offensive line in the AFC, and they won 10 out of 11 or 9 out of 10, and made the playoffs. He gets credit for that, but Vrabel, I thought, did a better job to be one game behind them with no Andrew Luck at all. So that doesn't change. But this year, Mike Vrabel has made multiple coaching mistakes. This year, Mike Vrabel is going forward and kicking field goals when he should be doing the opposite. This year, the offensive line has gotten worse. This year, Taylor Lewan was suspended. This year is different. Frank Reich is doing it now without Andrew Luck. So we have the ability to change our opinions on things, and I thought last year Vrabel did a better job. This year, you cannot argue that Frank Reich has not done a better job. He's done a better job than Mike Vrabel has. So we are allowed to change the way we think on things and see things because new information has come to light, man.
At worst, this Indianapolis team, because we could say, well, the Titans game could have went either way. But if the kicker makes his field goals in Cali against the Chargers, this team is at worst 4-1 right now. So they beat the Titans. This team is 5-0.
Now you can say that. You can say that about the Titans too. No,
that's why I gave them the loss against the Titans. I'm saying at worst they 4-1.
Right.
Because you know whatever happens, but if you look at what Frank Wright has been able to do, he has been able to take this team and with that offensive line, and he is working. Because if you look at the Titans and you look at Indianapolis.
And by the way, Frank Wright 3-0 against Vrabel so far.
Look at both teams. They're identical. Now, Indy's offensive line is better than the Titans, but they are identical. I'm looking at the Titans defense, you could kind of throw it up and say, okay, which one would you take? Titans. If you give me the Titans defense and Indy's offense, then this is a 5-0 team.
I would take two Colts defenders off of that team put them on Tennessee. Darius Leonard and Justin Houston.
Oh, absolutely.
The rest of the way, I'm all Titans.
Yeah.
I look at what Frank Wright has been able to do, and he's gotten more out of his team than Mike Vrabel has gotten out of his team in 2 years. And I don't know if that's an indictment on Vrabel or what. I think
it's a compliment to Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I think Frank Wright has done up until this point, not to say, you know, a year or two down the line, you know, Vrabel won't be better than him. I think he's out-coached Mike Vrabel 2 years combined.
I think
now, Vrabel, I'm not saying next year what can happen
point.
I think Andrew Luck beat the Titans.
I think Frank Reich is more calculated and more even keeled, mild mannered, whereas I think Vrabel's a little too intense and overreactionary at times.
And that may be fair. It's also maybe the difference between
a quarterback and a linebacker.
A cerebral offensive player versus an emotional defensive player. Mm-hmm. Again, not to say that Vrabel's not cerebral and that Frank Reich's not emotional. It's just offensive players tend to go that direction. Quarterbacks, like you said, Nick, and you know, Vrabel played his entire career is about emotion and about playing above his ability. And you've said all the time, Derek, he's got to take his helmet off and put on his coach's hat.
He has to remove it. But what Frank Wright uses every tool that he has. He uses analytics. He uses they are huge on analytics. They use all of that stuff. And I don't know if Mike Vrabel is big on analytics.
And a former tight ends coach calling plays?
Exactly. I don't think he's huge on analytics.
Look at Frank Wright, though, on the sideline. He's got the glasses on, and he's got the gray grizzly beard, and he's looking at his play chart. He's like, it looks like he's ordering a bottle of wine at a restaurant. He's like, I'll take the Cabernet.
No, but he looks like a mathematics professor at Indiana University ordering a bottle of Cabernet at dinner.
It's like he's figuring out all these problems as it's going on.
And does that make Vrabel a bartender at a bar in Columbus, Ohio?
Dishing out Miller Lights.
Thirsty Thursdays. All right. We're kidding, Coach.
Love you, Coach. We love you.
We're kidding.
Do we love him?
I have no problem with Mike
Vrabel. I have no problem. Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, he has made some mistakes as a head coach.
They're very isolated. You can fix them.
Yeah, this organization is, I think they're better. I just think, you know, he might, you know, he's the third best coach in this division.
Now, if Mike Vrabel stood on
second, because I don't like Bill O'Brien.
If Mike Vrabel stood on a table and convinced John Robinson to sign Roger Saffold, then I've got a problem. But I doubt that that was what happened. I would assume that that was a John Robinson brainchild first and foremost.
All right, 737-1025 is the number. If you want to jump in on the conversation, we'll come back, continue on with some Titans as well. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. Derek Mason, head coach at Vanderbilt, is going to join us at 7:30. And our buddy Adam Vingan from The Athletic will stop by coming up at 8:30. Back after this on Morning Drive.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk, your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.